That chorus we sang this morning a couple of times has been in my heart and mind for the last 3 days. I woke up 3 or 4 times last night, and I was singing that song to myself. I think Joyda was probably thrilled that I was singing it to myself in the middle of the night. But it's not about us. It's not about them. It's not about you or me, but it's all about Him. Amen? If we can keep that straight in our hearts and our minds, if we can realize that, my goodness, all the onslaughts of life, they just kind of flake off in the other direction. We're going to kind of see a little bit tonight. Matthew chapter number 14, if you would please. Matthew chapter 14. I'm going to start in verse number 22. Verse 22. I've entitled this message tonight, Always Follow His Directions. Always follow His directions. I hope that you can see why I chose that title tonight. Chapter 14, and begin reading with me in verse number 22. It says, And straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship and to go before Him unto the other side while He sent the multitudes away. And when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, He was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered Him and said, Lord, if it be Thou, bid me come to Thee on the water. Then He said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped Him, saying, Of a truth, Thou art the Son of God. And when they were gone over, they came to the land of the Gennesaret. And we find that that story goes forward. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank You. We have this tremendous passage of Scripture. Lord, we find marvelous truth here. And we pray, oh God, tonight that those things might enter into our heart. And we would allow our contemplation, our meditation upon this Your Word to speak to us and do the work that needs to be done. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. There have only been two men to ever walk on water. The Lord Jesus Christ and Peter. Peter may have begun to sink, but let's understand something. He did step onto the water. The others just look on. He may have sunk, but they stayed in the boat. The account that we find before us, I believe, has some beautiful pictures of action. And I hope some things that will bless your heart and help you. Verse 22 and 23, as I look at those, we find that the Lord Jesus Christ sends them away. And He dismisses the multitudes that they've been speaking to, and He tells them to go to the other side. Go across really what we might call a lake, and go to the other side. And we find then that He goes up into the mountain to pray. Now there's something interesting as I look at that. And that is this, when the Lord Jesus Christ sends us, He also intercedes for us. When He wants us to do a job, He is there with us in prayer. I'm glad that He's our great intercessor. Bible tells us in Hebrews 7:25, wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto Him, or come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. Makes intercession. It's a marvelous thing when somebody will stand up for you. When somebody has your back in a situation And the Lord Jesus is exactly that one. Two chapters later, we find it says, "For Christ is not an enter the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us." You know, there's a picture in the Word of God that I think, as I think about this, always comes to my mind. We find that the devil is one who is constantly accusing us. He's a great accuser. And so I don't know why God allows the devil to come before him. One of these days he'll be kicked out. He'll not have any access whatsoever and forever banned from heaven. But at this time he has that access. And we find that one of the things that he does before God is accuses the brethren. The problem with that is that we give him too much material. We give him too much that says, hey, this can be accusable. But what I notice in this, what I look at is a courtroom scene, and the prosecuting attorney is saying, he is guilty because of this, this, and this, and you ought to take care of it. But we have our intercessor. We have our lawyer, if you please. We have the one who stands up and defends us in these cases. Matter of fact, what the Lord Jesus Christ does is he defends us by letting God know, and God hasn't forgotten, but letting the devil know he's already paid the price. It's already taken care of. And forgiveness is ours. Thank God for that. He is our intercessor. But more than just standing up for us, I believe he is seeking or speaking to God. And it's hard for me to understand, really, God speaking to God saying, hey, listen, these folks, they need your hand upon them. And when he sends, he intercedes. Realize whatever God has for you, he is there, he's got your back, all right? And he will intercede. I believe also there's another truth that I believe is magnificent. In the storms, it's there we see Jesus. In verse number 24, it says the ship was in the midst of the sea. It's tossed with winds. It says the wind was contrary. In other words, blowing them in the wrong direction. But we find something here. It tells us in the fourth watch of the night. I mean, this is very late at night. Matter of fact, we might call it early morning. He went to them walking on the sea. And what do? They see him. It's in the storms that we see Jesus. Now let's understand something. Yes, he sends us into the storms. He's God. He knew it was going to storm, did he not? And yet he said, I want you to go to the other side. And so as they listened to God, they got in the boat and they began to go, but they ran into problems. And no matter what our lot in life is, we're going to run into problems. You who were on the hill last week and God worked wonderfully in your heart and your mind, you're going to find some problems tomorrow. You may have already discovered some of those. Some of you are going to go back to work and you're going to go back to the old grind. And there are storms that are there wherever we're at. It doesn't matter. They're going to be storms. But it's in those storms that we have this privilege to see Jesus. It's here that we can see him in a magnificent way. For it's in the storm Jesus comes doing what? Walking on the water. He is showing he has command over it. He's helping them realize something tremendous. And then we find that when he comes walking on the water, we find that he is one that is really seeking to bring calmness to them. Think about the voice of God as he speaks to us and calms down our fears. Often, I believe, he says to fear not. Often, we find throughout the Word of God, be of good courage. I think of Joshua in chapter 1, verse 9. He says, have I not commanded thee? He says, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. When we recognize the presence of God in the midst of storms, how marvelous it is to know that he is there. Amen? Tremendous. Go to the Word of God. Receive the love that comes from God. And I find from the Word of God, love casteth out fear. Yes, we're going to have things that will cause fear in our lives. But when we look to Christ and understand his love for us, that fear can be eliminated in our lives. And we can face dangers that we never realized that we could. It's in the storms that we see Jesus. When He sends us, He intercedes. When we go into the storms, it is there we can meet with Him. Thirdly, I'd like for you to notice in verse 28, 29, and 30, fear comes when we look away from Jesus. For we find that Peter, he says, bid me to come unto you. And we find that as Peter does so, that he begins to look in a different direction. Verse 30 says, but when he saw the wind boisterous, when he sees the problem is there, and he looked away from Jesus at the circumstances. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the Philippians, in chapter 3, he says this, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The ideal for you and I is to keep our eyes upon the Lord. Oh, we're going to have storms. There's going to be problems, but Jesus is there. He is there to intercede for us. It is there that we can see Him and experience His comfort. It is there that we can come when we do start to fear. We look away from Him. Jesus said, come. And He did. I think about Isaac many years previous to that. He's going to bless his son. He tells Esau, he says, why don't you go out and get me some venison? Fix it the way I love it and bring it back to me, and I will bring a blessing upon you. In other words, he was basically going to give to him his will and testament. And so he sends him off, but his wife hears the conversation, and her favorite son is Jacob. And she says to Jacob, let's get a lamb, and let's take that lamb, let's kill it, and let's prepare that just like your dad likes it, and you can go in to him and get that blessing. He can't see you, and therefore you can go in and do that. And he says, well, Mom, my brother's hairy all over. She says, I'll take care of that. And so she takes those skins and places upon his neck and over his hands that when his dad might feel him, he would feel his hairy skin. I say to you tonight, when Jacob went into his father, he spoke, and Isaac said, the voice is Jacob's. But you feel like Esau. You know, if he'd have listened to the voice instead of his feelings, he would have discerned who he was. Amen? And when you and I do not look toward Jesus, we lose that discernment. Instead of listening, Peter looked away at the raging sea. Oh, he started, but he didn't keep his eyes on Jesus. Fear will lead us in the wrong direction. But thank God, we can always look back to Jesus. Amen? Verse 30 and 31, we find that it says there, when he saw that immediately, or he says, Lord, save me in verse 30. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said to him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? By the way, did you notice something there? It might have been little faith, but Jesus still grabbed him and pulled him to himself. Amen? And so we find that he comes back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God that we can come back to him. The Bible teaches us that he will never leave us nor forsake us. And we have the privilege always to come unto his side. I just thank the Lord tonight. When he sends, he will intercede. It's in the storms that you and I get the privilege to see Jesus. Last year was one of the greatest years of my life. And a lot of folks look at me like, you must be nuts. No, it was a time to really to get close to God. It was different than I'd ever experienced in my life previously. It was just to see how God was moving, how God was working. And it was a marvelous thing because I never had, through that period of time, any fear. Matter of fact, I don't remember ever even being down. And God was so marvelous through that stormy time. It was like the Lord speaking in a calmness that comes over. But if we look away from Jesus, the fear will come. But thank God we can look back to Him. Amen. And He's wanting us to look back to Him. And when we do, if you notice the word in verse 38, it says, immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand. Sometimes we think, well, the Lord wouldn't answer our prayer because we just not really believe in Him. Or we might be sinking, but we can cry out to Him. That's a marvelous thing. God will bring us back up. A lot of folks say, well, Peter sank. Peter walked on the water twice. He started out to Jesus. He took his eyes off, began to sink. But Jesus lifted him back up. And they walked together back to the boat. Amen? Marvelous, as he wanted to be near his Lord. We need to always follow his directions. He told him, go to the other side. It was a difficult trip. Matter of fact, it was almost impossible. Jesus comes to them. He has interceded for them, but now he comes as an answer to that intercession. And in that storm, they see Jesus. In that storm, he brings a calmness. It's in that storm they hear his voice. It's like a child when they come home. The first thing they say when they walk in the door, Mom? And Mom answers. Of course, we know the next two words after that is just, I'm hungry. But there's just that comfort in knowing that they are there, understanding that Jesus is there. But sometimes we look away from Him, but we can always come back. And immediately, He will pull us up unto Himself. Or we might get chided a little bit about our lack of faith, but also it was our faith that got us back into His arms. And then notice verse 32. I'm amazed at this verse. Verse 32 says, and when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Think about this for a moment. The wind didn't stop when Peter stepped in the water. But when Jesus stepped in the boat, the wind ceased. Wow. He's going to bid us to do some things. It doesn't mean the wind is going to cease. But when He gets in the boat with us, the wind ceases. I find that to be marvelous. What a God we have that wants us to go all the way with Him. When He sends us, He intercedes. We need to listen to Him. He told them to go to the other side. Oh, there were storms. But He knew that in the midst of those storms, they were frightful. And what's He do? He goes to them. And He speaks to them. And He says, it's I, be not afraid. And Peter says, that's you, bid me to come. And he said, come. Peter gets out of the boat and walks on the water to see Jesus or to go to Him. Wow. And though the storm is still raging, and Peter begins to look at the problems around him, instead of keeping his eyes upon the Lord, he begins to sink. But thank God, when we begin to sink, we can cry out to God and He pulls us back up. How many times in our life are we going to be pulled back up? Until He steps in the boat with us. And when He steps in the boat with us, then the calm comes. And one of these days, we will be in that boat for eternity. And all the storms of life will have been over. And you and I get to be in His presence as they go on to the other side. Marvelous pictures here that we can contemplate and allow God to speak to our hearts. Always follow His directions. Do what He says. It might seem impossible. It might seem as though the problems that are before us are more than we can handle. But keep listening to Him. And if it gets too bad, we'll find Him there. And He'll be bringing words of comfort. And we, like Peter, perhaps ought to say, Lord, if it's you, I want to come to you. And he went. He's always criticized because he sunk. There were 11 disciples that night that didn't sink, but they never walked on water. There were 11 disciples that stayed in the boat, but they never got to hold the hand of Jesus as he pulled him up out of the water and walked back to the boat, walking with Christ in the storms of life. And when he got to the boat, the wind ceased. You're going to have storms? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I look at our teenagers. They've only begun to battle the storms of life. I don't want to scare them tonight, but listen, they're going to get worse. They're going to deal with some things that they never thought they'd have to deal with. I sit in a class in seminary, and I remember the topic was how to deal with people in some sickness. They didn't teach us any words to say, but here's what they said. Folks are going to face some decisions, and somehow we're going to have to figure out how to help them. At that particular time, we knew that medicine was advancing to the point that they could keep a body alive almost indefinitely with machines. And what do you do? And how do you know when to unplug it? We discussed that, and I remember the fear that ran through my soul as I thought, how am I ever going to help people through it? Because there's not an answer that comes from my lips, but it's holding their hand and praying for them and asking God to give them wisdom and strength to do what needs to be done. I never knew I'd face the very same decision myself. But God takes us through. There's storms. They don't quit until you get into the boat. Amen? Yeah. I think that boat is a picture of heaven. But we can walk with Christ. One of the problems I find in life is that too often we're like the 11 disciples. We're afraid to step out of the safety of the boat even though we know it's sinking. And to say, Lord, if it's you, bid me come. And be willing to step out of our comfort zone, willing to step away from that which seems to be our protection, and step out by faith, looking toward Jesus. We might criticize him that he went down, but he got there. Amen? He got there. And he walked back with him. You may sink a few times, but you can walk with the Lord. Amen? And remember Peter. Remember that whatever God says to do, follow it. No matter what comes our way, follow it and do as he bids, and he will take us through. Let's pray tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening for this man, Peter. Lord, we might look and think he was somewhat impetuous, but he was willing to do what none of the others were, and that was to get closer to you. Lord, I pray that we not be willing to just stand with the crowd, but be willing to step out into the raging sea that we might come unto you. Lord, thank you for a man who, though he began to sink, teaches us that all we need to do is cry out to you and you reach out and grab us. You're the life preserver. You're the one that picks us back up. And then we can walk with you. Lord, I pray that you work in our hearts. Too often, we shy away from what you really teach us in your word. We fear some things and fear the direction that you're taking us. And yet, we need to follow you. Work on our hearts tonight. May you have the honor and the glory from this. In Christ's name, amen.